Welcome back to Brass Tacks. It's Anchor Price with you along with Dennis Johnson. Are you still there, Wendell? No, this is another call. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead.
Mr. Price?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, please. Just know I wanted to ask Mr. Wendell three questions. He spoke about the... I didn't write that part. Anyhow, he spoke about the... our sphere. Let me try to break it down as best as I possibly could. On the international, with the international market, as it relates to the ideologies that are presently being, the way we do business on the international sphere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. One. I am going to reel this in, or attempt to reel it in, into a I did a comparative analysis last night. I was trying to write one of the past administration and the present administration thus far. Please bear with me, sir. What I realized is that the last administration went on a, you know, protectionism. You know that?
Mm-hmm. I know the term.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was the type of attitude that they attempt to engage in.
Example.
Example, protectionism, to some degree, we were trying to push the Barbadian product, where we had buy Beijing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That is just one little area that I try to hone in on it, right?
There's another example, too, you know.
Yeah, you can tell me if I'm not off air. You can make me off air with it. Tell me.
Ever so welcome, but wait for a call. Anyhow, you go ahead.
With that notion that they were pushing, I found we tend to box ourselves as it relates to marketing and trade to some extent. However, when Mr. Callender was talking just now and he made mention about the international market and the IDC and all of that, the International Monetary Fund and all of that, what came to mind was something that I tend to pop at me. With our present economic state, the fact that we have borrowed on the international sphere, the fact that we are now, to put it at the beck and call of whatever the international intellectual is actually wants at this present moment. Yes? How are we as a developing state, noting and giving notice that most of the ideologies on the international sphere does not give a fair footing to international or developing states such as ourselves? Are we now opening a market for, are we able as a Barbadian people to cushion the global impact that is going to come from the open market that we are now pushing? That is question number one. He made mention of the cultural industry. Until we as a people start to see culture as a important aspect of identity as a people, the cultural industry is not going to be perpetuated. My question to Mr. Callender was, considering Barbados is a multicultural bubbling pot, to what extent or what aspect of culture or Barbadian culture does he see as important to the revival or the introduction of Barbados' culture industry? Would it be from a food aspect? Because our tongue food wise has dwindled from the influx of international food. So is it food that he wants pushed? Is it music? Because we have moved away from even holding on to what is Barbadian music. We have incorporated, if you listen to the music and join the Calypso season, Kadumat season, you realize that it is a fusion of dub and everything else that makes up the whole thing. So what aspect of culture
mm-hmm.
does he see fundamental to the cultural industry of Barbados? My take on it is, if it is we wanted to push a cultural industry, this is just my silly solution, that we as a people should have Kadumat in Africa, we should have Kadumat in all the big countries, just send a small contingent of Barbadian people and let us exhibit our kadumut bands and everything over there, where you have persons then coming in to, for the festival itself.
Mm-hmm. That you mean send it as culture, part of, like, in other words, when you have, like, say, the Miami Carnival or one of the other carnivals, you have just a kadumut band representative of all the aspects of kadumut.
But we don't only want it in Miami. We
no, no, I just said like Miami, because there's Miami, there's Notting Hill, there's the one in New York. So there are a number of them. Are you suggesting that? Is that what you're suggesting?
To an extent, but on a larger scale. We need to take the food, we need to take some chefs,
mm-hmm.
Bring back the when I was in Jamaica, you had Jamaican food for mornings. You had breadfruit and green banana and salt fish. That was your thing. We stuck in this continental kind of breakfast thing. Man, put some breadfruit bakes or something on top of people plate inside of the hotels. Make sure that hotels are using local product, not just seeing local product because it's a breadfruit or because it's something. Each hotel in Barbados, it should be mandatory that each hotel in Barbados be next to your continental breakfast. You should have some fish cakes and bakes, and you should have some breadfruit chips and something else for the person's taste. So by the time the person gets on the outside, come out of the hotel, but now we're going with sandals, so it's all an indoor thing. Since by the time the person gets out, so you have already familiarized your taste buds with the Barbadian taste, the Barbadian fusion. I remember I cooked for a lady from Canada, and she was impressed with our look, our seasoning, when the way we do it in fish and the way we do it in chicken and stuff like that. Those are things that needs to be moved as a move. Take down half of the moss that you have at the side of the road, those hideous trees, and we need to plant some fields of chives and onions and create stuff like that. When we talk about moving Barbados forward, we can't be talking about moving Barbados forward from a cultural perspective or a culinary perspective, and yet we are still stagnated as it relates to the agricultural industry and stuff like that, because agriculture perpetuates a society. It moves the people. It feeds the people. And if your people are not well fed, you don't nourish the body well, you ain't going to nourish the mind well. And if the mind not nourish well, there ain't nothing going to happen in society.
Okay. Well, look, thank you very much for your contribution. And I would encourage Wendell, it's a pity that you couldn't come in when he was on, but I would encourage him to, I hope he'd take a note of the questions. If he hasn't, he can listen to the broadcast later on tonight after midnight, and he can make a note and call back at another time. So thank you, young lady, for calling. I just want to go to the WhatsApp here. This person says, I want to bring this problem to the attention of who's in charge. The stoplights at Gemmets Lane usually beep when it's time for you to cross. For a while now, the beeping has stopped. I'm concerned about the people from the blind workshop who have to cross there every day. Many times I have to help them across because there's no beep to indicate that it is time for them to cross the road. And I realize that people are becoming more selfish every day. The drivers and the pedestrians don't even look in their directions. Sometimes, I hope that you read my message and someone that's in charge of that department gets that beep working again. I'd like to commend this person for writing us and letting us be aware of that. I'd like to commend her too for going out of her way and helping others, because that is what community spirit is all about. And you do it because you feel it's the right thing to do, not because you're being paid to do anything. You just do it because it's the right thing to do. We're on the air. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning.
Thanks, Bruce.
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Yeah. Hello?
Yes, good morning. Go right ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Now, I've changed my topic. After hearing Mr. Canada, about university. Can you hear me there?
Loud and clear. Hold up, Barbara. Just listening to you.
My phone isn't very, very good today. Now, however, what I want, I've changed my mind, I told you, and I'm going to skip over to free education and so on and so forth. But he did come a long way from seeing Mr. Arabara introducing free education and so on and so forth. And then we began to look at things like everything should be free. Now, I think that happened because of all the parents and grandparents like me did not tell our children and our grandchildren what it was like not wanting to go to this particular school, and your parents could not afford it, but it didn't mean that you weren't bright. However, I went on to say that when all of this came along, if the children had been taught how to appreciate a textbook that is free, you write your name in it and you cover it and you kept it sewn, because this book had to be resold the next at the end of the year, because this what you got from this book would not be the true price of the second farm book, but it went towards that. And sometimes six names in that book, and you do not know how many years this book is. But I one time was presented talking about this freeness mentality that we handed down to our children. Actually, I was accused by the moderator who I was speaking to and said to me, I sound like my children meant to send to private schools. But that was not the issue. I was saying, if we had told those children what it was before everything was free. Now, let me get to KFIL. I remember when KFIL was free, there would be students who go there. First year, they fail. Second year, they fail again. And you know what happened the third year? They switched faculties. And they were almost perpetual students then. So now that we have the freeness again, I want to think that things are in place. That you fail the first year, we give you a chance to do it the first year in the second year. But you're not going to go into a different faculty if you fail at the end of the second year, because you cannot go on being a perpetual student at other students' price.
I don't think that, I'm speaking on the correction here, but I don't think that at KFIL you can go on like that if you're failing. It doesn't work like that. No, I think I'm speaking out of correction here, but I do remember that certain measures have been put in place some time ago to stop the situation where you have people who are just sticking around for a long time or wasting resources. That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is to respond to you directly on the freenesses in general, because I was part of that, having gone to secondary school in 1970, right up. I think looking back, one the main thing that was not done was to try to keep continuing education of Barbadians in general by letting them know that what they were getting was not free; they were paying for it themselves. And they needed to regard it as something that is precious, because other people all over the world were not getting it, even people in countries that were better off than us. It is one thing to give these services to Barbadians, because what you're trying to give people is a leg up, free, whether it's free education, free health service, free this, free that. It was the idea is to give the average person a chance in life. And the problem is the politics, the partisan politics. So it was never properly explained, and it was never a continuing program where we could continue trying to get into people's head. Look, the state taxes are being paid, and the state is allocating these resources to educate you, to ensure you can have bus service free or at a reduced price, to ensure you have school meals, to ensure you have this, to ensure you have that. But the toll is taken on the country itself is high. And the only way that we are going to be able to sustain this is if you use your time properly in school, or you utilize these resources properly, and then when you come of age, to give back to the society. We fail to do that, and we still have not started to do that. We just have these little pieces of conversations, and it's always colored in some political parties, in some partisan language, which is sad. But the truth about it is that there's from where I sit, the policies of giving these services at no cost to the end user, because that's what it really is. It's no cost to the end user. They were positive because they helped a lot of people to achieve to be what they are today. There are a lot of people in Parliament and all over the world working who came from very, very humble origins, but because of free education, because of school meals, because of a lot of these advantages of free health or everything, they have been able to develop themselves and make them and become, you know, a prowess in their particular profession. But very few give back in the way that they should be giving back. And that is because this thing was not sold right from the very beginning. That's just my take, and I'm sure other people will have a different perspective. We'll take a commercial break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Brass Tack. This person on the WhatsApp is saying, Wendell Callender is on point. Appreciate the history and update. He should have stuck with the current government. He could have gained a seat. His knowledge is invaluable. Right now, this administration needs thinkers. I hope that he considers joining the opposition. You're on Brass Tack. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Wendell's on point, but the topic is a massive topic, man. You know, you can't call in on a calling program and be 3 minutes and expect to do what he tried to achieve in that little 3 minute time. You know, what he's aiming at is that, you know, you're talking about all of this suffering, but you're not really talking about a true way forward. And even with all the suffering that's been, you know, imparted, and the question that people would ask is it going to work? And the response is, it has to. You ain't got the choice. It got to work. That's not really a response. It demonstrates that you really don't even know what the hell you're doing anyway. But, you know, the truth is, at the end of the day, you have to recognize that it is the ability to produce items that the rest of the world is prepared to buy. That is what is important. I don't care about this services and this medical thing that these people are coming up with. You know, any country in the world could produce a medical service and have people come in and participate and bring in foreign exchange and stuff. That's nothing new, nothing different. All of the ideas that they've brought so far, not just one, the other administration too, with regards to export-type enterprises and stuff, are basically low-hanging fruit. You know why I'm so pissed? I called yesterday and today. It's because the Chinese contacted me. The Chinese! And their language is like, say, man, look, I have a website. I do. But I communicate with government officials trying to request of their assistance. And I use certain types of language when I'm talking to them because I need to have them empathize in what it is we're trying to do. And the Chinese contacted me using the same language. But I wonder how they know. They know everything about me. And they say, Mr. Edwards, and they call it by your first name, real friendly. Like, we know that you have your own artists on board, but we don't really... Are you only doing with the West Indian diaspora and that sort? We know what you're doing. But if you need to have American iconic figures, just come to us and we'll sell them to you. You don't have to make them yourself. We will sell you these things. I'm thinking, wait, how do these people know me? My first name and everything, and they know me so good to know what it is I'm trying to do. I should have been the one to be contacting them because what they're doing, and they're using the same process I'm using. Well, you know how they look through my window and find out. Because I thought I was the only person in the whole world doing it this way. They're doing it exactly the same way as me. As good as me, let me tell you, because it's real, real good, and they probably have teams of 20, 30, 40. Chinese got enough people. So they find ways to employ their own. So it's only two of us, and they got about 40 of them per figure. And they are telling me things I should have been telling them 2 and 3 years ago. And of course, I tried to contact the Chinese that way. I tried to contact the Africans that way. In fact, the only person I can say that's actually been active in that regard is the Pan-African Affairs people. Because that's the only agency in Barbados of all the agencies I've contacted that actually had the ability to reach out beyond the Caribbean and talk to other people. 2 years after the Chinese contacted me, with the same kind of, I would have phrased the letter the same way as well too. And it has me pissed. It has me really pissed. Because it doesn't matter if you change administrations and stuff. They actually don't see what is needed to take people who have some kind of export product, export potential, and somehow manifest something of worth going forward. Not with what they've been saying. They're just prepared to accept that, you know, academics are where it's at and where it shall always be. I'm not an academic. I might have been many, 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 many years ago, but I am not. And there's so many others like myself, and they talk about the cultural industries as the guy before spoke about Wendell. But it has always been only talk. as I said, Mr. King is only window dressing. He's only been, and in fact, the only reason why they speak about new cultural industries is because of Rihanna Fenty. If they don't, it looks bad. She's the one who's making more than anybody else, and she's cultural industries. What we do is also cultural industries, too. I mean, you've never had a visit from anybody from the National Cultural Foundation, not even a letter saying, Mr. Edwards, I think you're this potential here. This is what we can do to get you from where you are to where you need to be.
So tell me something now. Let
the
me
IDC
just let me.
Has a process there in mind that makes absolutely no sense. The IDC tells you, look, if you can't succeed in Barbados, my man, don't even look at us. You're going to give me 2 years history and 3 years going forward.
So tell us now. Tell us now. What going forward now, what would you like to see done?
Well, let me repeat what you have said. You said you can't go forward without knowing the mistakes that you've made because you're going to make them again.
Right.
A mistake is looking at somebody like me and calling me a businessman. If I were a businessman, I would say they're Chinese, my man. I like what you're saying. I will buy those things from you and bring them in and stop doing them myself because I'm a businessman. I only want to make money. Mm-hmm. I'm an artist. I want to display what it is that I have. I have people recognize it and pay for it because it's worth something to them. And by that, by extension, something to Barbados. That's what it's about. But Peter Wigan calls me a businessman. And you know what? I feel so insulted by that. Do not make those mistakes. I am not a business person. I am a citizen of Barbados, the same as Avinash Prasad and the guy from the other, the other four economists that are employed by government. All of us were trained in Barbados. We are the school in Barbados. And we are all Barbadian citizens. And we all need to be promoted and supported in exactly the same way. The government of Barbados will spend millions and millions of dollars on consultants.
Mm-hmm.
Consultants are very good at doing what you and Dennis Johnson do very well. And that's talk. They're very good talkers. But when you got to do something, no, don't call them yet. But the people who actually do, my man, I've been told by a governor, not this one, but one of them, of the central bank, you see what you're doing? The only way you get funding from that is through friends and family. It's like that all over the world. All over the world. I'm saying, my man, this is Barbados. We could do things differently. You're a consultant too, and you get paid by taxpayers than anybody else. This is what it is all about, is a mindset shift that neither of the parties are prepared to accept. You have agencies all over the world. All over the world, employing Barbadians, doing stuff, basically which amongst just stamping passports, or going and rub shoulders in various different high-profile meetings and stuff. One of the guys were here last week, Friday, talking about, he went to Singapore, and then after all that money has been spent on him, how has Barbados benefited from that experience? Huh? So you're going to pay for these individuals, you're going to send them all over the world, and they're not going to be representing Barbados in a way that sells the items that Barbados has to sell. And I'm one of them.
All right.
Let me tell you something. I was unfriended by a couple they're not there anymore. Not ambassadors. They're called high commissioners. And we were friends before, but no, we're no friends no more. You have to be able to recognize what it is that Barbados has to offer the rest of the world and do whatever you can to make that thing work.
And I agree with you on that point.
Everything you can to make it work.
All right, sir. But thank you very much. I thought that you would mention something about legal fees and that sort of thing today, and I was chomping at the bit to discuss that with you. But I guess we'll do that another time. But you do have a point. We need to sell. We need to start pushing even more the talents of our people because we have some very talented people in this country who are doing some very good work. And for those of you who do not know, the gentleman who was just on, he is a very talented artist.
Okay.
This is Brass Tacks.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, you're on the air. Good morning.
Morning, Shankar.
Hi, Glenn.
Yeah, it is. How are you,
yes,
sir?
You're on the air.
Good. Hold on a second. Let me get rid of this speaker. Hi, you're there?
Yes, go right ahead.
Yeah. I'd like to raised something which I'm shocked and surprised and disappointed that after, I think it happened on the 14th October, Sunday, October the 14th, that I have not heard a mention in the media, at least on Brass Tacks or whatever. It has to do with something that occurred with the Prime Minister's address to the nation. And it has to do with the whole question of the treatment of the flag, the placement of the flag. Now, the protocol is that the flag is always on your right hand because the right hand is the place of honor. You know, the Bible says, sit down on my right hand till I make the enemies my footstool.
Mm.
So the flag is always on the right hand, and the left hand is regarded as evil because the Latin word sinister meaning left. Anyhow, the flag is normally placed, if the prime minister, when you're facing the audience, the flag is to your right, to the person who's speaking right. Right? Mm-hmm. If it's an array of flags on the stage, the host flag is always to the extreme right, the last you see to the left when you look at the stage. So it's very important. But I saw where the flag was placed. I don't know if it happened because of, they had two persons participating, namely the Prime Minister and
the Attorney
Minister
General
Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
But it was placed to her left. To her left, and there was a space, her, the space, and then there was Dale Marshall. I don't know who made the preference, who laid the layout, but to me that is a monumental faux pas that should not be allowed to happen. I'm surprised that at this stage, after 52 years of independence, virtually, people in a government department, I'm not sure who said it, whether it's the GAS, whether it's CBC, whether or whatever, but these are the things which are important, which I think we have to pay attention to every year if we are to really seriously get it right. Mm-hmm. It might seem small to some people, but if you do it, then your standards begin to slip. People begin to lose respect for your institutions or your symbols or whatnot. And in the long run, the whole national psyche pays the price. Mm-hmm. And I think, therefore, that I see where there's talk of amalgamating a proposal more than talk. GIS, the government printery, and CBC, and the Department of Public Affairs. I'm hoping that people in that department have some idea of protocol. Because, mm-hmm. You know, traditionally, Jamaica and GIS has done it right. So I don't know, I don't know if it's a new communication. It's not the done thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it really something should be deprecated.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, I'd just like to mention briefly what that lady Rose raised in connection with Canada's contribution about culture.
Yeah.
She was wondering which aspect of our culture.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to tell you that really people who study culture, the culture is supposed to represent your whole way of being. Every aspect of your national life is part of your culture, contributes to your culture, reflects your culture. As a matter of fact, to the extent that there's a professor called Professor E.M. Hall, which described culture as the silent language. So it tells another person all about you without saying a word.
True.
So your food, your dance, your drink, your way you walk, how you dress, your use of colors, shape, sizes, language, everything, your drink, all of that is your culture. So any of that can be made to represent of your culture depending on what you want to promote or what you think the world needs. And that's the important thing. Talk of the culture industries is a fine thing to talk about here in Barbados. How do you operationalize it is a different matter. And I know that your operationalizing it is going to be dependent on what the world sees of you that is marketable, that is desirable, that is attractive, that is appealing. So we cannot say here in Barbados, spend it isolation and tell the world that this is what they should like about Barbados. You have to expose the persons to it. Nowadays with YouTube and all the means of communication, it's very easy to expose people to Barbadian culture. And the various festivals and whatnot are excellent vehicles. But the thing is that you have to, it has to reflect people's, in the same way we don't go to the United States or go to France, we would like everything they serve, everything they eat or drink. Because you have a national palate, you have to acquire taste. We can assume that because it's Barbados, they love Barbados so much, they love the rum and coke so much, or flying fish, or everything else they should either like or be made to like. It has to be a voluntary. You have to persuade people, you have to woo them. That ain't the Barbados Rum and Food Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Those are avenues. So therefore, I think people have to be more conscious of the fact that you have to persuade people, like in anything, to be exposed to your cultural taste, your cultural offerings, for it to make sense and for it to have some kind of national appeal.
Right.
And what I'm talking about culture.
You're gonna make a last point quick because I got a commercial break coming up.
Okay, no, uh-huh. November coming up. Between 1966 and 2007, we have had a tradition of having the Prime Minister having a reception at Ilara Court for all involved, all standards and levels in society in Barbados. Used to be at El Colonna Farm, there's Ilara Court.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Thompson came in and disbanded it and offered something in July to the diaspora that came into Barbados to grow up over. I think it was a shameful act that we do not have a national occasion where everybody can congregate in one place at the Prime Minister's residence or wherever. And be a national and have a national affair where political divisions are dropped, but you enjoy the occasion. And I would like to see that this government reinstitutes it, if only because we just can't start and stop things as we like with no good reason. I think it would be an important step for our cultural heritage.
All right, Glenn, thanks a lot, and I'm looking forward to hearing you on Sunday as well. Take good care. Welcome back to Brass Tacks. This is Sanka Price with you. We go back to the phone lines. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning.
Come to your program. My name is Astor B. Watts, and I am 96 years of age. So I have had good times and bad times, and I have the experience that I would like my friend Mr. Price to accept that he wrote articles, and on the 24th of May, the people of Barbados decided that they had enough of the Democratic Labour Party government, and we are going to move forward. I would be interested to hear the programs that we are going to put on the table and what we are going to do to get, not to get, because I would like to know where all the investments went that I am hearing about. And if you do have the information, bring forward the persons and have it worked out. But don't continue accuse, and do not bring the necessary thing. I am interested in listening to your program. Sometimes I agree, sometimes I don't. But I know that your present Prime Minister, when she was leader of the opposition, she realized all the shortcomings. She identified them. So we want to see them put on the table and how best we can put them into effect, that it will not interfere with the poor and downtrodden, that it will be beneficial to the small and the great. And I would like to see you adopt the greatest good for the greatest number. I want to thank you for listening to me, and I will continue to listen to your program.
Thank you, Mr. Watts. This is Brass Tacks. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the air. Good morning again. You're on the air.
All right. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now. Go right ahead.
Yeah. I'm calling from Camping Land, Manders Road. You still see the crossing here on going across the hostel? This is a dangerous site here, so right now, because it won't be in the cover, and the car do not hold up for you to cross the road. If you cross the road on one side, it's supposed to be two lanes, make it three. When the car is coming across here in the morning, you got to be very careful, because then they're going to kill somebody just now. And I'm telling you, if they do not do something about here, somebody going to die just now. And you see crossing, you see you parking here, so where it is, everybody's parking at your door. No, you got limited people to park in front of your door. The parking and the car washes washing cars at your door. When you tell them don't park, don't wash the cars, the washing cars are cursing you. This is not right. There wasn't a law down inside of here. I was calling this. I was trying to see who would get hold of Stephen Johnson. To show him on the mornings how he does me. You cannot get hold of Stephen Johnson. Not the other gentleman can't hold of. I don't know what's going to go on about here so just now. Because the people, his curse is so stink. And you do got your place to read, and then coming on your place and washing cars. This is not right. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
It's definitely not right. But you really need to call the police, because if somebody is on your property washing a car, they have no right to have no vehicle has a right to be on your property if you don't allow it to be on your property. So you need to call the police and get that dealt with, especially if the person is being abusive to you. That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is a major point that you raise, is that zebra crossing there. Yes, it needs to get painted up. I hope the light on it is working, because I know at some point the light on it,
it was not working.
But it's not only that zebra crossing. The zebra crossings all over the island. They really a number of them need to be spruced up. The MTW, they have actually started doing some work across the island at major stops and whatnot, which is very good. But they also need to do those other markings. In fact, I think I mentioned that a couple of programs ago. They really need to do it, because and motorists, they need to really look out for people at those crossings. And also, pedestrians need to stop standing up at those crossings, just having a chat. Because I know a couple of times I stopped for people, and they just told me to continue. They were just standing there, you know. So say one, say next. Is there anything else you'd like to add, ma'am?
Yes, sir. But you see, out here is a really serious place. I mean, the bank every so often, this gap has to get a light, because then very many people park over here for the night and they go to the hospital. I'm in the combat. Either the glass break, the door, the people, the docks, mm-hmm. and you do not see nothing. And you and they see the police come here and they ask you like, you will see who. You're so the officer. I inside the house, so I don't know who's. I don't know what's going on because I live here, right? But I don't stay here. I live outside every 24 hours. I live outside, but we're begging for like don't stay here every thing. And you see don't inside this down here in this gap here, so people expect for locks. The person is coming and he's answering a foolish question. This answer, but you in the house, you don't see. If I see. I don't see because I don't know what's going on. Everybody inside the house, it's hard that you render. Hard by the door. No, it's going door. Everybody door saying, don't. It's going something that you're looking to do or something that you're going to go. I don't mean don't inside here. And you don't inside here. We're begging for lighting don't inside here. So everything and not nobody have not come out yet and said nothing. Nothing. If you were parking, it's just information that they got.
Have you, sorry to cross you, but have you ever spoken to your parliamentary representative about that?
Sir, I beg your pardon. I thought my parliament, and he even like a promise. You know what I mean? You know when you promise a child something, you tell them, I can do tonight. And you get a child for it. That's what it happened in the study here, B. The study here is no place to walk. You cannot even see your feet at the rainfall. No, you said hear me water run. No,
how many houses are down there?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4. My five. Okay.
This is just an idea. This is just a suggestion. Do you realize that the households, those five households, can get together and decide, contact the Barris Light and Power, and actually pay to have a light there? Just listen to me. I know you're going to tell me how hard things are and whatnot, but the reality is that a light there, because I put up one close to me as well. It costs less than $1 a day.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And yes. If there are five households that are going to benefit from that, and if everybody can agree that they, you know, it will come to one person,
yes,
and
sir.
You know, it can be done. The point about it is that there are ways and means of tackling this, and you need to explore it. But one way is that, because it, you know, sometimes we have to do things ourselves instead of waiting on the authorities, whoever they may be, whether it's the government or a particular department in the ministry or your parliamentary representative, is to just go and get it done yourself.
Yes, sir. But sir. Okay. The people don't hear, so not really you like the one that, you know. I just can't tell you about the pole here, so hang over here to the escape. You see, this piece of tree here, so I hang over the escape here, so and leap on the wire. I was calling like the power every time to just to cut it down, because if this is not hanging away anymore, this whole...
And you're saying this is campaign land, Martindale's Road? Well, I can tell you, Leighton Power monitors this program, and I am sure that you're going to see some boyfriend Leighton Power, if not later today, sometime tomorrow, who will come and look at that, because that is a fire hazard as well.
Yes, that's a fire
okay?
hazard as
well.
So, okay, thank you.
Just hold tight. Okay. Believe me, the people at Leighton Power monitor this program, and I know that they will respond. All right, but you need for those neighbors who are out there, you need to come together and think very seriously about putting a light there. They have these new new lights. Anyhow, they're very 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 bright. Okay, there's a particular term for it which I can't recall right now, and they're very bright, and it would illuminate that entire area. And as I said, it costs less than a dollar a day. In fact, this message goes out to everyone who's listening, who lives in those areas where it's dark. You know, why do we just wait for government to do this and government to do that? And no, we need to start taking control of things that we can take control of. It is not really that expensive, especially when it's a benefit to you. The same way that you want satisfaction from doing X, Y, and Z and you pay for it. If something is really important for you, you take the initiative and do it. And one of the things that is not as expensive as a lot of people think is having your own light on a street pole. One that you and the neighbors pay for. You and your, you know, we can be between two families and you pay for it. You just decide whose name will go on the bill. That could be arranged. So think about it. I just want to read this WhatsApp. And this WhatsApp is from Sharon Lynch of the Barbados Government Information Service. And she's the head of the Government Information Service. And she said, I would like to point out that for you to state to your listeners that the Government Information Service had nothing to do with the placement of the flag or indeed the recording of the Prime Minister's address to the nation last Sunday. She's just saying that, you know, you don't think it is fair for the GIS to be blamed when they were not responsible for that boo-boo, as Glenn Murray pointed out. So thank you, Sharon, for responding. We go back to the phone lines. Good morning.
Hello?
You're on the air.
Yes, sir, because there's two things I want to mention here quickly. It is not always that pedestrians can be blamed for standing by pedestrian crossings. Mm-hmm. If you may leave a road, the first bus supposed to get to, you're going to see a pedestrian crossing right smack between two bus poles where pedestrians have no choice. Mm-hmm. And that totally confuses drivers because they don't know if you are crossing or if you're waiting for the bus. The same thing applies to Bell House.